Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
It's Christmas!
Rhyme so loud and proud you hear it. It's Christmas time and we got the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the second of our 12 Rambles of Christmas, a daily countdown of what we see as the defining 12 topics in football since we switched our mics on back in 2007.
What was yesterday's, Marcus?
Yesterday's was the first World Cup in Africa in 2010, South Africa, of course.
What's tomorrow's, Marcus?
I'm not telling.
Can't tell you yet.
Yeah. What's today's, Marcus? Let's be more traditional.
You at least tell us that.
Thank you, Jim. I thought we'd get there in the end. Yeah. No, today's is number 11. England failed to qualify for Euro 2008.
Oh, fills you full of cheer, doesn't it? Fills you full of Christmas spirit.
When we put this list together in our very secretive voting process, come up with our top 12, I don't think any of us fully realised how punishing this would be for us, particularly as English football fans.
Let's get this one out of the way then.
Yeah. 5 minutes max on this.
Yeah. Well, the reason why we put this in, obviously, jokes aside, although actually the jokes can stay. It makes it
more on Steve McLaren later.
Much more palpable. This was really the start of an unwanted new chapter for England, which is
and
arguably
football podcasting.
You're right, Pete, because this was probably the first big thing to happen to us since we started the show.
It's true, yeah, and I would argue that England is still in that chapter.
Very much so.
The legacy of failing to qualify for Euro 08.
I feel we may be responsible.
Yeah. We're certainly not blameless.
No. I wasn't involved at this point, was I? Was I to come in?
A bit later on.
Later on, yeah.
But you weren't involved in the qualification campaign at all, Pete. You were never called up.
I would have brought back
You came in. Like Totti or maybe Ibrahimovic or perhaps Rooney. You came in for the tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
You were there for that. But yes, England. The golden generation tag was beginning to wane, but a lot of those players were still in that England side.
And were able to disgrace us until 2010, indeed, as we heard yesterday.
Beginning to tarnish.
Well, you still had the likes of Beckham, Gerrard, Lampard, Ferdinand, Terry, and so on and so forth. Mm. You had a decent squad.
On their day, well beaters.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and I'm sure we'll come on to this in more detail shortly, Steve McLaren, who was, of course, the manager, as if we could ever forget that, did make quite a big show and a statement in dropping David Beckham and Sol Campbell and maybe one or two others as well.
Beckham was the big one.
Saying, this is a new era. This is what we're going to be doing going forward. Of course, later on, we'll find out that he was like, oh, yeah, shouldn't have done that.
No one could cross a ball in.
If you're out there and I've dropped you from the squad at can you get in touch? I've lost all my numbers.
If I'm picking Peter Crouch, should I get Beckham back in?
Yeah.
How do you get him back in the WhatsApp?
WhatsApp then.
Oh, hey, you see.
All right, AOL Messenger. MSN.
MSN
Messenger.
ASL.
I think England's failure to qualify for Euro 2008 in Austria and Switzerland, that probably put the kibosh on the golden generation once and for all. I mean, previously, you have to think about the context here. The previous qualification campaigns for the Euros and the World Cups, England had gone into those tournaments in 2002, but more specifically 2004 and 2006, as among the favourites. There was a genuine belief in the country that England could actually do something at those tournaments, and that belief...
It was all thanks to Sven.
No, but well, come on. But that belief wasn't stupid.
No, I agree.
It actually wasn't. And we joke now, but this is the funny thing. Back then, England had squads in which you thought, do you know what? We're among the best ones.
2002 particularly. 2002 was...
But 2006, Sven said we should have done...
I remember Rio Ferdinand saying, after, I think, Euro 2004, I remember him making a big show of saying, I said before this tournament, I think we can win the World Cup in 2006, and I've seen nothing that changes my mind. Like, imagine if, like, Adam Lallana came out now and said, we're going to win the World Cup in Russia. You go, come on.
There's been a big culture shift, absolutely.
Well, you could even argue... I mean,
you could have done the voice there, Jim. You used to do it back then.
you could even argue, I mean, this is... perhaps a little bit speculative, but it's the highest expectations England had going into a tournament since maybe even 1970. Mm. I don't remember 82 and 86. There was a little bit of funny stuff with.
Well, England had a good. I think England had a good team in 86.
No, they did. But I'm saying like genuine expert. When England went to the World Cup in 1970, they were world champions. And they thought, well, we're going to win this, you know. And so since then, I mean, even in 1990, people thought, okay, well, we might have a chance. Let's see how we get on. Yeah. But this was when people thought, hang on, we've got something. And in 2002, England lost to eventual winners Brazil in what people were dubbing was the final in an earlier round. And it proved to be because Brazil won it. That's the crucial bit. If England had won it, maybe not so. But in 2004 and 2006, Portugal beat England on penalties in both competitions. But Rooney had burst onto the international scene in 2004, a player that we got so excited about. And for crying out loud, went on to be England's top scorer of all time.
And you also have to understand that when Steve McLaren was given the job, it was widely sort of, possibly, having said that, possibly because he was an Englishman and we'd had Sven for so long.
Yeah.
It was widely applauded as an appointment.
And he was Sven's number two as well.
And everyone was saying, exactly, and everyone was saying, this is the direction we should be going in. This is a young, hungry, exciting coach. And Steve McLaren was a very, very good coach. Mm-hmm. And this is what we should be doing, promoting from within. This is giving us our identity back. And people were excited about that at the time.
They were. Well, building a legacy, the idea of joined up thinking. We hoped that was where it was going. And also, I think it's worth noting as well, when you look at the headline names in that squad, you've got, you know, Rooney coming through, as you say, players like David Beckham, even though he was in and out, but, you know, he's still David Beckham. You got your Ferdinands, Terrys, blah, blah, blah. Also players like Ledley King, players like Joe Cole, that were sort of, weren't necessarily starting, but were adding genuine depth to that team.
Owen Hargreaves,
yeah, very much so.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, and McLaren said in his first press conference, I am a results-orientated manager and I'm here to do a job, win matches and make sure England over the next 4 years win a major trophy. None of that happened, of course. But that enormous words for an England manager, a guy who was very inexperienced. But McLaren clearly had some sort of belief as well. I mean, can you imagine an England manager since then coming in and saying all that kind of stuff, I'm here to make sure England win, obviously.
Yeah. Make sure. But as if it's so achievable, it just needs a steady pair of hands.
But that's the thing, because of the tournaments in the noughties, England thought right, come on, we are knocking on the door of a trophy or at least a final or something like that. And there was belief that, you know, as England, we think we can win a trophy.
And the campaign itself, yes. The ramble started in April 2007, and it started just after England toiled to a game at the end of March,
yes.
away in Andorra, in which they were...
It was in Spain, actually.
It was a game away to Andorra. Yeah. It was played in Barcelona, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was 0-0 at half-time.
Yeah.
The England fans were going crazy.
Yeah.
And we were saying on the show at the time, why are they so angry? But with hindsight now, looking back, the game before that, they had toiled in Israel and they drew 0-0.
Mm.
The game before that, they were beaten by Croatia
mm-hmm.
fairly handily. Do you remember that Gary Neville crazy own goal?
Yeah,
which Paul Robinson
bobble.
Let
it in. Bobbled over Robinson's
foot. Yeah, and the game before that, we had drawn at home to Macedonia at Old Trafford. So the context of that that anger being displayed by England fans travelling away to this Andorra game was, look, we're 0-0 against Andorra at half-time. We're having a terrible time of it. We need to step up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously what transpired we'll come on to. But I find that quite an interesting point, because 10 years ago when we were first doing the show, we were thinking to ourselves, there's no reason why these England fans should be so angry. But looking back on it now, there was every reason for it.
Completely, yeah. I mean, just to put it in perspective, sorry, Jim, is that since, you know, England had got two draws and three losses in that qualification campaign. Three losses since that campaign. England have lost just once in qualifying for all major tournaments.
Wow, okay, yeah. that is perspective.
Staggering record. Yeah.
But it was a fairly tough group. I mean, Israel was difficult to... I mean, it's a cliche, but going away to Israel is a tough game. Russia were a decent side then. Croatia had a lot of good players then.
But England should have qualified.
Oh,
there's no two ways about it. Yeah. England finished on the same points as Israel.
Yeah.
Which is, England finished third, you know, which
well,
is...
Well, I think, all I'm going to say, I'm not disagreeing with you per se, but why can't it be both things? Why can't, fine, England should have qualified, but we haven't had a group that tough again since then.
I don't think. No, I don't know. I mean, when England were in with, say, Poland, Montenegro, you know, there was a few tricky... But Ukraine as well, I'd say that was probably equal. I think that England... If England hadn't have drawn at home to Macedonia, they'd have gone through.
They were goalless at half-time against Israel, for crying out loud.
Well, they finished 0-0 against Israel.
They were getting pelters, for crying out loud.
But they drew. If they had drawn against Croatia in the final game, they'd have gone through.
Well, there you go. So I think that's the point here. I mean,
so there was a big margin for error, is what you mean?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, England... As you say, that they had a number of bad results, but I think that when England fans were going crazy on the terraces at half-time, at that Andorra game, there were sort of scenes that I'd not really seen before. Yes, England fans have behaved very badly away from home, that we've seen, but I mean actually in relation to the team, because normally we hear the, come on England, come on, and actually they're full of support for the side. That was when the fans really turned on England.
Mm.
And, you know, a number of players said it was then really difficult to play for England, and there was a lot of nasty feeling.
You had the famous Wayne Rooney, nice to hear your own fans boo you.
Yeah, and that was 3 years later.
Yeah, so that is very much where that started.
Yeah, we can't forget, though, that David Nugent scored in that game, which I think was the reason why the ramble began. looking back on it.
I mean, I watched that back in preparation for this, and it really is an absolute wanker's trick.
Oh yeah, it's outrageous.
I mean, to be fair to David Nugent, he never scored another goal for England.
Never.
His career never perhaps became what he hoped. He was an exciting player at the time,
yeah.
And he his career for whatever reason didn't pan out. So I'm pleased now that he scored for England, because I think he was a good player and I always liked him. But at the time, and looking back on it and taking that event in isolation, it is like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Well, you can see Jermaine Defoe really trying to sort of hold in the frustration and put a brave face on it.
For squad harmony, that would have been horrendous.
Defoe did okay in the long run. I think he had the last laugh. But including the Andorra game, England then went on to win five qualifiers in a row, all 3-0, with Owen among the goals. So normality began to resume, and you thought, oh, hang on, they're digging it out now. Then they lost 2-2 against Russia in Russia, and that was a bad one. And that meant England needed to avoid defeat at home to Slaven Bilic's Croatia in the final group game, which we're going to talk about after this.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Maybe the one criticism of the French league is it's a little bit
cookies and milk for Santa.
Welcome back to the 12 Rambles of Christmas, everybody. Before we talk about England at home to Croatia, Luke Moore has got this to tell
it's
you.
It's not fair because I've got to do eight reads after that. We've chosen the 12 we're counting down, of course, and you heard the first one yesterday and the second one today. But we'd love for you listening to get in touch with your favourite moment also. And on Christmas Eve, we're going to choose our favourite one from you guys, which will win a 55-inch 4K TV from Toshiba. I still can't get over how big that TV is. In addition to that amazing Christmas present, we'll also record your moment that we've chosen as our favourite as an extra show sometime in the new year. Toshiba offers you the chance to watch every football match in 4K picture clarity. Thanks to the TV's pinpoint sharp resolution, no detail, flick or kick of the ball will be missed. Enjoy 24/7 access also to a whole world of online content, including catch-up TV and on-demand services such as Netflix. With this TV, you can also access last week's shows on demand with Freeview Play. For an authentic audio experience, it also comes with a subwoofer to project the bass sound. Don't just hear, but feel the roar of the crowd. So for your chance to win, email in with your favourite moment from 2007 onwards to show@thefootballramble.com. And my colleague and friend Pete is going to give you yet another suggestion to help you on your way.
Three words, Luke, and Zogbia to Villa.
There we go. We could easily get 20 minutes out of that. Get Joe Kinnear on the blower.
Yep.
Insomnia.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Back to England's failed campaign for Euro 2008.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice not over.
Break, wasn't it?
It's not over, gentlemen. Well, on the final day of the group, Russia went away to Andorra needing a win, which, of course, they got. Only 1-0, but a win's a win's a win. England played Croatia at home. Croatia were already top of the group. They had nothing to play for.
Nothing.
Sods.
England just needed a point.
Can I just say at this point, I watched the whole game back.
Did you?
Yep.
Oh, you poor soul.
I watched the whole game
Luke.
Back.
And, do you need to talk to someone?
Yeah.
Well, just professionalism, guys. Professionalism, you know.
Yeah. Professional help.
Yeah. And do you know what? You're right, Marcus. England should have qualified. And I don't want to come across as an apologist for that McLaren England team. But if the dice on that night were so loaded against England.
The night dice.
It was the night dice, Pete. They were it was absolutely hammering it down with rain.
Yeah.
The pitch was a total state. It was the Croatia fans were they made it sound like a home game. If you listen watch that game back now and listen, the Croatia fans do not shut up game.
We forget how much of a third kind of player the pitch was as well, because that was what came out. As soon as that match started, everyone was going, oh my God.
Well, I think it hugely contributed. The conditions hugely contributed to Carson's early mistake.
Yeah.
And to be fair to him, he made a save or two late on very well.
Yeah, some very good reflex saves. That's where he really re-established himself.
That was Scott Carson's professional debut.
For England.
Yeah, for England.
I mean, that shows McLaren throwing in Carson.
No, he never played in a professional match before. the England match against Croatia. Yeah. Just stick him in.
We didn't know who he was. Odd wording. Yeah. It was an odd wording. I felt needed clarifying.
Well, he's turned up and he said he's good.
Yeah. Whack him in.
He wouldn't lie.
Is there a goalkeeper in this sodden stadium?
He seems a proud Englishman.
Who's that lad with the gloves?
But he's brought his own.
Has he got a tash?
But one, the big takeaway from the build-up to the game that I rewatched was, oddly, Steven Gerrard looked absolutely terrified in the tunnel. Mm. He's got the captain's armband on. He's standing at the front to lead the team out. He is white as a sheet.
It was raining quite heavily.
It's the night dice.
Do you think part of it is that exact phenomenon we were talking about earlier with the fans turning on England a bit and that translating to the players and them having that extra bit of nervousness before heading out?
Yeah, and they did play very nervously. I was saying to you guys earlier, just before we came on, that The situation was England needed a draw, as Marcus has said. So Russia were always going to beat Andorra, which meant we needed a point. Scott Carson makes an error very, very early on in what is quite a high-paced game. The tempo is very, very quick. I mean, we talk about England not playing with any tempo in 2017. The tempo was amazing in that game. And England had a half chance with Joe Cole, who popped up on it, and he didn't take the chance. It was a difficult one. And then Scott Carson makes this error. At that point, you'd think a good quality, experienced coach would have said, okay, we're 1-0 down, but we're at home. There's 83 minutes left to play. We only need a draw. Mm. Let's just keep hold of the ball for a bit. But no, they bomb on over and over again, and they get caught again.
2-0 down within 15 minutes.
Can you believe that?
I mean, it's just... But do you remember the void that opened up, just as an England fan? Just thinking, I can't believe we're actually going to miss out on this.
Jim, there were spaces. I mean, talking of voids, there were voids all over the pitch.
Luka Modric was having a lovely time.
He was having a fun... It was a night of his life at that point.
He couldn't believe his luck. Well, England then brought Beckham on at half-time, and they managed to get themselves back into it. The Frank Lampard penalty. Was it a penalty? Was it not a soft one? If I remember,
it was
right
a very, very soft penalty.
Yeah, England were given a big helping hand there.
They were, but if you're going to give Steve McClaren any credit at all...
That brolly was lovely.
For his game management on the night, he brought Beckham and Defoe on. Mm-hmm. And Defoe won the penalty and Beckham set up the equaliser.
So he
did change it. The penalty was very, very soft. The referee gave it for a push on Defoe in the area. And I watched it back about five or six times. There's hardly anything there. Mm. If that had been given in the Premier League game... That's given on the Premier League game this Saturday, and we're talking about it on Monday. All of us will be saying, we don't know what he's given that for.
Yeah.
But the equaliser, obviously England get back into the game, Lampard scores the penalty, and the commentator says at the time, Frank Lampard, so often the villain of England, so unpopular with the fans.
He was, I remember. It surprised
me a little bit to be reminded
of that. Lampard, they said, people were saying he had a terrible World Cup in 2006 because I think people thought Lampard was going to score a few goals. I think he scored 3 at 04.
It took him a while to get going, though, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Lampard was vilified a bit.
In that match, he was the man of the match and had the booing after that. Wow.
Yeah.
The equaliser that Crouch scored, not enough's made of the quality of the pass from Beckham.
Yeah.
Beckham put so much backspin on the ball, he makes it really easy in close quarters for Crouch to control it, and he can put it in. And then the game's on. Then you think, right, we're on.
But that said, he still has to chest it down and volley it in. It's very similar to a goal that Wayne Rooney scored earlier in the qualifying campaign. I felt that was very impressive. But at that time, as I'm sure all of you did, I felt like, here we go, this is it.
Yeah.
Never in doubt.
Yeah.
It's fine. We've turned it around.
They kept leaving gaps everywhere.
But that's the thing, Jim. That feeling of, here we go, it's going to be... that's the one.
Complacency.
That feeling of, here we go, doesn't exist anymore.
No.
That's the difference. That is the point of this failing from Euro 2008, because we can remember those moments years ago. You know, England's low points previously were on a similar kind of, with similar weather when they got beaten by Germany in Keggy's last game as England manager in the last game of the old Wembley. England lost 1-0, but they managed to turn the group round and with Beckham against Greece and so on, they qualified. But other low points were, Euro 2000, for example, they were in a group with Germany and decent Romania and Portugal sides. England actually beat Germany in that tournament, but they lost to Romania and Portugal, went out in the first round of a tournament. That was seen as a huge shock. Whereas we've seen England fairly recently go out of the first round of a major tournament in World Cup 2014. I mean, you look at the low points now. I mean, England lost 4-1 against Germany in 2010. They played primitive long ball tactics against Italy and went out with a whimper at 2012. And people going, oh my goodness, yes, they got them to penalties, but that was a miracle.
But we've never really learned our lesson, that's the problem.
Euro 2016, Iceland, it was proper humiliation. So the failure to qualify for Euro 2008, it's all been bad then.
Yeah.
There's been no game.
So it's a real turning
moment.
Point. And if you go back to that night at Wembley, when obviously Petrić popped up and scored the sort of goal of his life and famously refused to swap his shirt because he said, I'm never having a better night than this in my career. You know, Croatia beat England 3-2. One thing that really hits home is Croatia had already qualified.
I know.
Yeah. They were already through. Yeah. Slaven Bilic, who's not a very good manager, had taken Croatia to the top of that group and they'd won it and they'd already qualified. England were faced with the prospect. They ended the game with Defoe, Darren Bent and Peter Crouch up front, scrabbling around for this equaliser. They never should have gone two behind. They never should have gone 3-2 behind.
They never should have had to rely on Israel beating Russia, for crying out loud, to give them a bit of false hope.
It was Andorra, wasn't it? And do you remember?
No, the game before that, it was Israel needed to beat Russia, and they did, which set up England just needing a point at home, because everyone thought, oh, Russia have messed that up.
I remember thinking, we just started this damn podcast and now England aren't even going to be there.
But we enjoyed the tournament, perhaps.
It was because of that.
Yeah, but this is the thing. Like, I think that since that failure, and because of all the reasons we've just said, it's all been a bit down and doomy and gloomy with England. It's one of the big reasons why many people have lost interest in this country, in international football, and perhaps one of the big reasons why younger fans don't have the interest that we did when we grew up in the 90s. We saw England get to two semi-finals, a number of quarter-finals as well, and get involved in big games, you know, glorious failure. I'd love a bit of glorious failure.
They made us believe, didn't they? They genuinely did, and people sort of laugh at England's reputation of sort of like falling for the idea that they might sort of go on and achieve more than they should at a tournament, but England were good at doing that, and we don't have that now. And I think one of the things that's quite telling is Steve McClaren being in charge of England. This isn't really his fault. I mean, from that era on, the managerial merry-go-round, as it's known, sort of includes the England job now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, Hodgson was there for a little bit, but I know what you mean. I mean, Capello came, he didn't cut the mustard. Obviously, Hodgson didn't, but do you know what? It's funny, we sort of laughed about Southgate, not at him, sorry, but the whole sort of circumstance in which he didn't look like he really wanted the job, and we thought, maybe that's the idea, get someone who doesn't want the job in. But he's at least trying to approach things differently, have a bit more joined-up thinking.
But my problem is that McLaren was doing that. Yeah. McLaren was doing that when he took the job as well, and it went to absolute ratchet.
Well, I think, but the FA did at least learn from that, because if you remember, Stuart Pearce was Capello's number two.
But so, you know, Croatia went on to do well in Euro 2008 in what was a really brilliant tournament, and they only just got knocked out. They played some good stuff. They beat Germany in their group, didn't they? And they went out. Oh, yeah. They went out to Turkey in that incredible game.
Turkey had an amazing run.
The game had nothing in it apart from the last minute of extra time.
So, I don't know if you remember, Croatia scored in the 119th minute, celebrated like everything. Well, the fact that they thought they were going to go through, and then Turkey went and scored in the 122nd minute and then beat them on penalties.
Yeah.
It was remarkable.
They had a few turnarounds, didn't they?
I remember thinking after watching that tournament, I don't think I want England to qualify for it.
No,
well,
Euro 2008 was brilliant. Yeah, absolutely phenomenal.
Well, Marcus, on the 22nd of November 2007, when McLaren got his P45, I like to think he got in his car, turned on the radio, and heard the number one in the UK at the time, which was... You cut me open and I keep bleeding, I keep bleeding. Just a snapshot from time there.
Leon and Lewis. Air in charge.
If only Steve...
Sat next to our radiator.
If only Steve McLaren could travel back in time and change it.
Oh, if only Steve McLaren had won X Factor and Leon and Lewis was manager of the England.
Oh, dear. Well, there we are, you see. Steve McLaren. How little we knew thee.
he went on to have an amazing Dutch accent.
He did. Yeah. He won the Dutch title.
Yeah, he did.
Let's not forget that.
That's not a euphemism either.
Let's not forget that. But yes, Gareth Southgate is in charge, of course. Maybe he's the man to get us back to a quarterfinal elimination again. It could happen in Russia. And if it does, I genuinely will bloody love it.
Yeah, so
keep believing. Keep believing in England.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to our second 12 Rambles of Christmas.
I hope tomorrow's one's not quite as depressing.
Which is, of course, a daily countdown of what we see as the 12 defining topics in football since we first switched on our mics back in 2007. And, of course, get your suggestions in, Peter.
Yeah, get your suggestions in for the Toshiba telly. It's massive, and it could be yours if you come up with your favourite event that happened in the last 10 years.
Or even moment.
Show at thefootballramble.com, of course. I've just got our own email address right now. I shouldn't be trusted.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We're back tomorrow with another of the 12 Rambles of Christmas. Say goodbye, Luke.
Number 10 tomorrow. Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
See ya.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Bye.
Bye from me.
It's Christmas!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.